the WEEI studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
The teams that are looking to move up, I think, are the Giants, the Vikings. They have interest specifically in Drake May. The Giants do. So I think Drake May is going to go third overall. I'm just not sure they're going to be able to move the needle enough for the Patriots to go all the way up to three. I think the Vikings are a little bit more like, we can make it work with McCarthy. We can make it work with Penix. So my guess would be the Patriots stick, and it's probably Drake May at number three.
Okay, that's what I like to hear, Bert. That was over the weekend on NBC Sports Boston. Bert Breer of the MMQB. We'll get more into the Patriots and what they're doing at pick three with the draft. 2 days, 4 hours, 56 minutes, 57, 56, 55 seconds away. Thursday night coverage here with Keefe and Hart and Fitzy and Scheim and Cadlick. Full coverage on what
Statler,
the Patriots are doing on draft
Waldorf,
night.
Waldorf, Garfield.
Yes, yes, yes.
Cody.
Were you the original draft coverage to Arcane on EEI or no? Or was that, was, no.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So it's hour number two, Jones and Arcane. No Mego here today. We're taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. A reminder, our draft coverage is brought to you by McFarlane Energy, Greater Boston and Cape Cod's choice for home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC product and services at McFarlaneEnergy.com. Also by Chockful of Nuts Coffee and by McCormick Spices. A reminder as well, it's 2 for Tuesday here on WEEI, which means less than a half hour from now at 3:30, you'll have your final chance of the day to win two tickets to the Red Sox and the Cubs Sunday at Fenway Park. As Arcan, you said last week, we're doing our best to make sure Cubs fans don't totally take over Fenway.
Yeah.
We gave away two last hour. We're giving away two more coming up. Gresham Fourier gave away, I think, four sets. Greg Hill gave away two sets this morning on 2 for Tuesday. We're doing our best to make sure the Cubs don't totally take over Fenway, or Cubs fans, rather, don't totally take over Fenway. Don't say we never did anything.
Yeah, we're trying our best here. And I understand. I mean, it's early in the season. The weather's not great, but these are Chicago people. They're used to bad weather. They'll come here in the bad weather, and they'll take over the park. So don't let them, Red Sox.
Okay, we'll continue to take your Bruins thoughts, 617-779-7937. Let's get to a few other items here. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, tweets out, while the Commanders and Patriots have received calls from teams attempting to move up for a quarterback, Washington has shown no indication it would move, per me and Mike Garofolo. New England would move for the right offer, but the Patriots haven't gotten such an offer yet. So that was Rap Sheet maybe 2 hours ago, 90 minutes ago, something like that. Earlier in the day, Karen Garigian at Mass Live had the following. Sources, Patriots haven't received serious trade offers for the number three pick. So she takes it further than Rap Sheet here. She says, according to one source, the Patriots have fielded calls and trade offers for their first-round pick. However, the source indicated those offers were laughable and not close to getting the Patriots to move down. As of now, the team is still waiting for a quote-unquote serious offer. Let's circle back to that in a moment. I'll just give you the rest of the story, and then we can react. A second source stated he wasn't sure that such an offer exists or that another team would be willing to put together an unprecedented package for the Patriots at number three. As of this week, sources have said there's a sense of excitement inside Gillette Stadium. Oh, good. The pre-draft process has only reinforced the notion that this year's quarterbacks class is deep. When it comes to the number three pick, the expectation around the NFL is the Patriots will stand pat and draft a QB.
You excited?
I'm getting a little more excited. Curran was on with Gresham Fourier earlier today. We'll talk to him on Friday, the day after round one, where hopefully the Patriots stick and pick at three. We'll play you Curran coming up, what he's hearing. The latest. But Arcan, your reaction to the Patriots are getting laughable trade offers and they are still waiting for a serious offer on the heels of Rap Sheet saying they're open for business, which is echoing what Elliot Wolf said last week.
I'm a little surprised that there isn't more interest, that there isn't more serious offers coming in. And we're going by what the Patriots are saying, what they consider to be a serious or laughable offer. So who knows what the Vikings or the Raiders or any of these teams that might be trading up, what they think of what their offers are. But if the Patriots don't think that they're serious or that they're laughable, I would imagine that that's reflective of maybe what some of these other teams really think about these quarterbacks. We've sort of built this market in our mind here here in New England of everybody wants these quarterbacks. There's all these teams that are desperate to move up and all that. And so far, really, the Vikings are the only team that's really maneuvered themselves into a position to do it. And they don't seem to be going way over the top for any of these guys.
They're moving up, though, right?
They might be.
It might not be with the Pats, but they're moving up.
I would think they'll try, but we'll see. We'll see who wants to swap with them and who's maybe thinks they're in a position to get somebody else. Now, if you look back at some of the trades recently, like, I kind of get it. If you the 49ers are sort of a weird example because they traded all these draft picks to move up and get Trey Lance, and it didn't work, and it didn't really slow them down at all. But I think in general, most of these NFL teams sort of look at trades like that, things like that, where you mortgage your future just to move up in one draft on an unproven player and see it not work and go, we don't have the type of roster to field something like that. If that happens to us, we're screwed. We're set back this many years, however many years. So maybe that's not looking like the most appetizing thing to do in the first place, let alone if you don't love the quarterbacks. And maybe that's sort of what's happening here. There's a reason why all these guys keep sort of jumping around.
Okay.
And I think it's because the market's not set.
Is it possible the Patriots are just saying they have laughable offers to try to up the offer?
Yes.
Okay. So I just don't like that they're playing around with this. Like, part of me says the expectation that Mass Live reports is they're going to stay and pick at three. They like the quarterbacks. That completely echoes what Reese wrote on Sunday. It echoes what Curran told us last week and what he wrote last week at NBC Sports Boston. So while those are all people I trust and I think are very plugged in, they're also all local writers. And that scares me a little bit, because if the team is going to send somebody for a spin, and I don't mean to say that Curran is going to get spun or Reese or anybody like that. I respect their reporting. Karen, too. But the team is going to jerk around local reporters, probably not the national guys, maybe with the exception of Diana Rossini. So I hope that the local beat people are right. But the fact they keep putting out there, oh, the offer is laughable, and they're still waiting for a serious offer, that feels to me like they're fanning the flames for something. And, like, I guess they could just be fanning the flames just to, if somebody bowls them over, take an absolute home run trade. But if they're waiting for a home run trade, that means they're not totally sold on who they're taking at three. So I don't know why they're playing this game. I don't really get it. The only thing that I can talk myself into that makes me feel okay about it is they're still trying to throw Washington off the scent and make sure Washington doesn't get cold feet. But right now, the odds are back in favor. All the draft sites, DraftKings, FanDuel, it's back to a heavy favorite after a jump last week where Jaden Daniels and Drake May evened out. Jaden Daniels is a heavy favorite to go two. So maybe that's what the Patriots want. Maybe they were trying to get Jaden Daniels to drop all along, and it almost worked, but now everybody assumes he's going second again to Washington. I don't know. That's the only thing I could talk myself into. They don't want to spook Washington. They want to have Washington doing what they're doing and standing pat.
Yeah.
It's not about a message to the rest of the league. It's about a message to the team in front of them so they know who they're getting at three.
It could be. I mean, it could certainly be that. But the alternative here is that not only are the Patriots not really sold on the quarterback at three being Drake May, neither of these other teams that are picking at 11, 12, and 13, if they're not making serious offers. If they were making serious offers and they knew or they thought that this guy's not going past three, we're not going to be able to get him at six or 11 where we're picking or wherever it is, and they were so in love with him that they would make some kind of crazy offer to move up, I think we would have heard about that by now. I think the process of that would have already started. I don't think you would have seen an article like this.
Let me hear Curran. This is earlier today on Gresh and Fourier. What's most likely happening at pick three, Tom E. Curran?
I just saw your poll.
Gross.
You know, let's keep it simple. Is it just going to be Drake May?
I would think that that is the most likely scenario. I would say, without reservation, Christian, that the greatest by far likelihood is that they sit there at number three and take a quarterback. If it ends up being Jaden Daniels because Washington takes Drake May, I think it would be Jaden Daniels. If Drake May is there, I think it's Drake May. So, I mean, they don't have the choice between May and Daniels, it seems. They would have a choice between McCarthy and May, but my feeling is that they would lean towards May, just based on the upside, based on everything that has been said about upside and the beliefs that you want to bet on the talent and your own coaching staff to bring it out. So I think that the most likely scenario is Drake May.
Okay. I feel good about that. The one thing I don't like to hear is that, oh, they're fine with whoever drops to them, because that is nonsense. Like, I like both of the quarterbacks, but I want May a lot more than I want Daniels. And that's the Jones big board, which, by the way, may have more integrity than any other quarterback big board out there. I moved Jaden Daniels to third back in September.
Mm-hmm.
If I could find the date where I moved Drake May in front of Caleb Williams. It was whatever day Caleb Williams sobbed on mommy. Hashtag mommygate. Whatever day that was, that's the day I moved Drake May to number one. So I like Drake May more than any quarterback in the class. The integrity of the Jones big board is, you know, running circles around everybody else who changes their quarterback big board and their mock draft every other week.
It's the Jones Moxie draft.
Yes, that's true. Not a mock draft, a Moxie draft.
Moxie!
So I would take Jaden Daniels at three, but I don't have anywhere near as much conviction there. And just don't tell me the Patriots like them both the same. They're good with either one. They have a preference. And I'm tired of hearing that over and over again.
They do, but they'll talk themselves into whatever they end up with. I mean, that's what's going to, that's the truth. No matter what, that's why they've planned it out this way and answered these questions the way they have, so that they'll have all their bases covered when whoever falls to them falls to them. They're not going to trade up. No. We know they're not going to do.
I'm still a little nervous they might trade back. J.J. McCarthy was on with Adam Schefter earlier today, and we'll play a few clips from him coming up that have me a little shook, if I'm being honest. But in the meantime, let's knock out some phone calls. You can jump in on the draft, 617-779-7937. Steve's in the car on our Bruins discussion. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Steve.
You know, I called in yesterday, and I said that they should have played Swayman in both games.
Okay.
Just to stop them from thinking that we were going to do every other day. But in Almack's defense, the team played much better in front of Swayman. They were good up the middle of the ice. The defense was better. We were getting a lot of shots. Hence, we won 5-1.
Yeah, so none of that has to do with Allmark either. Like, that's also annoying. It's like, oh, it was just the play around him. Does any of that have to do with the goalie? Did the team let down because, oh, they're treating it like a regular season game? Again, it's November against Buffalo. Or did the team let down because they have more confidence in Swayman? Like, there's no correlation between the team playing better with one goalie than the other. That has nothing to do with the goalie decision?
Nope. They're just out there. It's like a video game, you know? They're just
They don't even know who's in net, Arkin.
No idea.
They just go out there. They just play. They don't even look behind them. They never look behind them. They don't know if it's Linus or Jeremy Swayman. They don't even know. So there's no human element to it. There's no letdown, or they don't play better for one guy over the other, or have more confidence in one guy than the other. That's not a thing. They don't even know. They just act like they don't even know who's back there.
Yeah, all these guys who have watched Linus Allmark lose in the playoffs for two straight years.
Right.
They have no preference whatsoever.
Right. The guy who helped them. And look, there are plenty of other people culpable, but the guy who helped them poop their pants last year against Florida, just complete and utter confidence in him. No difference with Swayman. 617-779-7937. By the way, the goalie they tried to trade,
right,
by the way. We'll continue here with all your feedback. It's still a 2 for Tuesday here on WEEI. One more pair of tickets to give away to Red Sox and Cubs. That comes your way about 15 minutes from now at 3:30. You don't want to miss it. And we'll play you some of J.J. McCarthy on Adam Schefter's podcast that admittedly has me a little bit shook. Who did he visit with when he was here in New England? Who was he talking to on his visit? I don't like this answer. You'll hear it right after Trending with Ryan Garvin.
Follow the socials at Jones and Mego.
Check it out in the Jones and Mego page as well. You can vote the big Q in 2 and then see Arkan's AI renderings of Mego bathing in a chicken pot pie with Marcus Smart.
This is Jones and Mego on WEEI.
What about the idea that you could wind up in New England playing for the Patriots?
Mm-hmm. So much honor and respect to be able to be in that position, just with the history that's been on display for these past years, and growing up and seeing all the success. And I met with Mr. Kraft, and just like the coolest, smoothest guy I've met in a long time, and just being able to know that you're in good hands when the Kraft family's running that whole thing. And obviously Coach Mayo has been a part of that success over the years, and what he's building is a feeling that I got when I first stepped onto Michigan is the sense of urgency to rebuild the culture, rebuild, this team to where they want to get to and where they were. Bringing so many guys back like Matthew Slater, Danny Amendola, just you could tell that they're, on the path to success and they're doing it the right way.
Uh-oh. What a little turd. Just sucking up to the owner? Like, that's
smooth,
embarrassing.
Coolest guy. No.
That's embarrassing. Like, playing the game. But, like, that's embarrassing. He's just, what do you think of Robert Kraft? Oh, he's just the smoothest, coolest guy I know. I heard Gresham Fourier.
Oh, you mean Young Thunder? That's what I call him. It's his cool name.
That's exactly what it is. It's exactly like that. It's Gerard Mayo sucking up to Robert Kraft. And look, got Gerard Mayo a job.
Yeah.
He was nice to Robert Kraft on their trip to Israel 5-6 years ago. And next thing you know, he's the head coach of the Patriots. They're shoving Bill Belichick out the door. This kid's trying to do the same thing. Which, weasel move, but it might work out smooth and cool. That's Robert Kraft, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely Robert Kraft. I heard Gresham Fourier mocking
Rico
this earlier.
Suave.
I hadn't heard the audio. I heard them reading the comments. I hadn't heard the audio yet. That's from the Adam Schefter podcast.
I'm like a young Arthur Fonsarelli. Hey.
Yeah. But I just, that's a move that I don't really respect on J.J. McCarthy's end. Like, I'm going to suck up to all these owners. But number two, he's meeting with the owner. That I don't like. So add that to Rapsheet and Garigian. Patriots are open for business. They fielded laughable offers, which to me, that's out there so someone will up their offer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a message to the rest of the league. You know, give us an offer. We'll move. Maybe it's to Washington in front of them. I hope it's to Washington in front of them, but probably that's a message to the rest of the league. Laughable offers, but if you want to give us a crazy offer, give us the bag.
Yeah.
We'll move.
Because we like J.J. McCarthy, New York Giants.
Yeah, so add that information to J.J. McCarthy meeting with Robert Kraft. Now, I don't know. And again, I heard Gresham Fourier talking about this on my drive-in. Did Jaden Daniels meet with Robert Kraft when he was here? Did Drake May? I don't know the answer. Maybe all
Jaden Daniels, they all went to Topgolf again.
Like maybe all the quarterbacks met with the owner. I don't know that to be the case. Did Michael Penix meet with Robert Kraft when he was here? Maybe they all did. But we now know J.J. McCarthy did, and he's sucking up to Robert. And, to a lesser degree, Gerard Mayo in there. He's like, yeah, Mayo. It's just like when I went to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Same idea. And so, look, you don't want to shoot down any potential employers. I get the game he's playing. Is that a clue that the Patriots are leaning J.J. McCarthy? I hope not, but I can't tell you that I can fully blow past it until I know if the other quarterbacks met with Robert as well.
Yeah, that's totally fair, and it's something that, you know, got my attention to be sure. There's reporting that Jaden Daniels doesn't want to go to Washington, right? So, like, we've heard some of this now that Daniels, and we haven't heard him say it, but we've heard people report that Daniels isn't really all that into Washington. He had bad interviews, maybe, and he is trying to get his way to New England. If he was, don't you think we would have gotten some quote like this from him about meeting with Robert Kraft how great it was and all that? Like, if that was something that he was trying to orchestrate himself and they had a meeting like that, that makes me think they didn't. You know, that makes me think they haven't had that kind of meeting. And Drake May hasn't mentioned anything about it either. So, yeah, that certainly has my attention. The only other thing that makes me feel a little bit better about it is that McCarthy, out of the three of them, is probably the one least likely to go top three, just based on reporting and sort of how people are looking at it.
Yeah.
So maybe he's trying to
trade down and take him?
Well, maybe he's trying to pump himself up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the Patriots are really interested in me, so, you know, you don't want to let me slip. Like, if they don't take me at three, there's a lot of into that sort of thing, you know?
Trading down to take J.J. McCarthy, I would hate. I'd agree with Dubs 985 in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I'm so glad the Bruins aren't playing draft night. Don't think I can handle a potential Bruins loss and a J.J. McCarthy pick. Trading down to take J.J. McCarthy. I want to circle back to something you said there at the end. Mike Reese shared over the weekend. Matthew Slater had other opportunities to go out and be pursued throughout the league, but he elected to stay with the franchise that he played for from 2008 to 2023. One source described that Matthew Slater will be Gerard Mayo's right-hand man to first-year head coach, again, Gerard Mayo, providing a sounding board on football and team building, as well as assistance in people development. So I don't know if that's on the coaching staff. I don't know if that's like kind of a behind-the-scenes,
like a Tom Hagen
liaison type of thing, consigliere type of thing. Sure. I didn't pick up on this. I kind of heard him mention the name. I wasn't listening super close, though, to the end of this clip. Who else is back with the Patriots?
A feeling that I got when I first stepped onto Michigan is the sense of urgency to rebuild the culture, rebuild, you know, this team to where they want to get to and where they were. You know, bringing so many guys back like Matthew Slater, Danny Amendola, just you could tell that they're, you know, on the path to success and they're doing it the right way.
All right, that's enough. Amendola's back, huh?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I know that he left. He was with the Raiders, I think, right?
I have no idea.
I think last year he was with the Raiders. He was doing something with the Raiders, and then he, like, retired.
Huh.
And he said, I'm retiring from coaching. So
isn't
now
that
he's
weird?
Unretired,
so
I guess.
So Danny Amendola rips the ever-loving crap out of Bill Belichick in
weird.
The dynasty.
Yeah.
Just rips him limb from limb. You're going to let Tom Brady go, Bill? I could have been a kid at Foxborough High School, and I would have known not to do that. Amendola rips him limb from limb. And he's got a job now with the Patriots?
I could have got the kid from Foxborough High School to tell you that, you know, you shouldn't have let Tom Brady go.
Do you have it?
Kraft's like, get me that guy's number. Sir, you have his number.
Holy, you want to talk about putting on the code red,
yeah.
Scal. Robert says, yeah, rip Bill in my documentary and you'll have a job here. Like, talk about ordering out a hit on Bill Belichick, a code red on Bill Belichick. Amendola said, yeah, I'll give me a job. And now he has a job here. Wow.
Yeah. The only thing you can say to that is that Matthew Slater came out and said, hey, you know, we really said a lot of positive stuff, too. The documentary wasn't good. They only highlighted the negative stuff, and he got a job, too. So
Matthew Slater also said, I have no interest in coaching ever. And here he is, the right-hand man for Jeremiah.
I enjoy
talking. Which is his official job title, by the way. Right-hand man.
I
haven't seen a real title yet.
I enjoy talking to Matthew Slater every week. You know, he would hang out with us sometimes after the interview and chit-chat with us. I like talking to Matthew Slater every single week. I enjoyed it. The man did not give us a lot of information, but clearly he's capable of it because in the Dynasty he was saying a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of enjoyed him when he went on with Julian Edelman on whatever his podcast is called, Games with Names. And, you know, he's now on top of that, also out here and working for the team. When he was lying to us every single week, we're like, what do you want to do? Do you want to stay in football? Will you stay with the organization?
I just want to spend time with the family.
What do you want to do?
You know, it's a big commitment to be coaching. And he's been saying that, not just with us. I've heard him say that for years. By the way, Slate, standing invite if you want to come back and, you know, rip the team some more.
100%. Anytime. 100%.
Or don't. And standing
Arcan,
invite.
Arcan, you're right. Slater backed away from his comments about Bill after the Dynasty aired, but he said it in the Dynasty.
He did.
And he got a job here.
Mm-hmm.
Was McCarthy done? He also said a few interesting things about a quarterback who could be making a return. Maybe Amendola's here to bring back Brady, our kid.
Maybe
that's part of it. But he had some interesting things to say about his relationship with Tom Brady, fellow Michigan quarterback Tom Brady.
You wouldn't be the first quarterback from Michigan to wind up in New England if it happened to go that way.
Time out. Did these two Michigan dorks just talk Michigan the whole podcast? Like, is that all they did?
No, not the whole podcast.
They just talked about their time at Michigan and where they lived and, like, where they went to lunch and what cafeteria they went to and what their major was and who their professor was. Is that what they did? They just Michigan dorked out this whole podcast?
You wouldn't be the first quarterback from Michigan to wind up in New England if it happened to go that way.
Yeah.
What would that mean to you? And has Tom Brady had any advice for you during this process? Has anybody reached out, like, along those lines?
You know, Tom and I have a great relationship. I ask him questions all throughout the season and stuff like that. I try not to bother him too much. You know, I asked Matthew Stafford a little bit of advice about this process, and he told me that, you know, he's a little far removed from it because it happened so long ago, so I didn't even bother to ask Tom. But, it would just, you know, such honor and respect, like I said, like being able to, I'm always about playing for the guys that came before and, you know, the guys who built the foundation to where it is right now. So obviously being a part of the New England Patriots, that means everything, you know, going back to when Brady was playing and how he was, you know, doing it for Teddy Bruschi and Willie McGinnis and Ty Law and all those guys. So being able to pay that forward would be a tremendous honor.
Okay, it's J.J. McCarthy dorking out on Michigan with fellow Michigan alum Adam Schefter, and talking about fellow Michigan quarterback Tom Brady. What do we make of that relationship, Arcan? Is that a factor in any way?
It shouldn't be. I mean, it's something that's going to...
I didn't ask if it should be. Is it? Brady could pull for this guy if he wanted to. He's got pull with Robert Kraft.
He does, in the sense that Robert Kraft still, I think, kind of respects his opinion on certain things. Is Robert Kraft going to side with Tom Brady based on the fact that this guy went to the same college as Tom Brady? Like, see, this is the sort of thing, when we were talking about this, you had the idea that the ownership should step in and make this pick, and crap like this is why I don't want to see that, you know, because I don't know, that could be exactly right at the top of Robert Kraft's list of things as well. He went to Michigan and Tom Brady went to Michigan, and I like everybody from Michigan, so let's draft this guy, and that's why I don't want ownership doing this.
Fair. I don't think ownership...
But you know what? Honestly, I think it could make a difference.
Yeah, so I do too. If Brady reached out and he's like, hey, Robert, I like this kid, you don't think Kraft would listen to that? But I don't think ownership is the one pushing for McCarthy. I think that might be Wolf. And by the way, having a relationship with Tom Brady is meaningless. Mac Jones had one too, supposedly. They were text buddies. You know, he was texting with Brady and Orlovsky, apparently.
Yeah, he's a little text slut. Texting everybody.
They were text buddies.
Hello.
And it meant nothing. It did no good for Mac Jones. This doesn't mean anything for J.J. McCarthy and his success at the next level. By the way, I got a little sidetrack there. It's 2 for Tuesday here on WEEI.
What is it?
It's a 2 for Tuesday. 2 for Tuesday.
Let's roll.
My apologies to all of you waiting patiently. Be caller 9 right now to the contest line, or I should say jumping in line, at 617-931-0937. You got two tickets. See the Red Sox and the Cubs this Sunday at Fenway Park. Again, caller 9 contest line, 617-931-0937. Two tickets, Red Sox Cubs this Sunday at Fenway Park. The final pair of tickets here on a 2 for Tuesday. Two sets on the Greg Hill Show, four sets on Gresh and Fourier, two more sets here today on Jones and Mega. We'll be back with more next Tuesday on a 2 for Tuesday on WEEI each and every Tuesday, the first couple of months of baseball season. Just closing the loop there on J.J. McCarthy, Arcand. You're right. I mean, if the owner gets swung by something like that, that's the potential pratfall of having the owner make the pick. The upside is they're still picking a quarterback, which at the end of the day is all I want. I don't like J.J. McCarthy, but at the end of the day, they leave the draft with J.J. McCarthy. At least they have a quarterback, and that's what you need in today's NFL. I don't believe in McCarthy. I prefer definitely May and Daniels to J.J. McCarthy. I even prefer Michael Penix to J.J. McCarthy. But fine, you got conviction in the quarterback. Go take him. They need a quarterback. So that's part of the reason why I don't mind ownership stepping in on this pick.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. I just think that when you come down to evaluations and things, that when it comes to the offense that they're going to run and sort of all this other stuff, like, we always sort of rip on the idea that Ben McAdoo and Alex Van Pelt and all these people are going to have input in it, but they're the ones who are going to be making the offense. They're the ones who are going to be drawing it up and sort of putting it together. So I trust them to at least have more of an insight into that and which quarterback better suits what they're doing than someone like Robert Kraft or Jonathan Kraft or Robin Glazer or anybody else in the ownership group who I don't think knows anything about that.
Okay.
They may have opinions on it, but they don't know anything.
You don't want them making a pick. You're willing to acquiesce. They're going to make the pick, right?
Yes. Okay. Unfortunately.
That's fine. They're going to make the pick. I believe I don't need Diana Rossini's report to figure out and connect dots that ownership is going to be involved. Ownership's involved at one with Chicago. They're involved at two with Washington. They're going to be involved here. They're not special here. They're not any different here. And I've tried to point that out before. Oh, they won six Super Bowls. How do you explain that, Jones? I don't know. Chiefs ownership sucks too. They're not special. They just got Patrick Mahomes. And so there's nothing special about what they do here. Nothing. And they're going to be just as involved as every single other ownership group when it comes to this pick. That I believe. And I say ownership group. The Crafts.
Yeah, and even in some cases, I mean, there's ownership or teams with very headstrong GMs and big front offices that have got, you know, like John Lynn, guys who have a long sort of history of making picks and have sort of bought a lot of goodwill with their ownership group because they've done a good job over the last decade or however long they've been doing the job. There's nothing like that here. It's a bunch of guys who don't even have the title right now. So there's really no reason to expect anything else.
Nope, it's true. A couple of texts, 37937, before we get to your phone calls. Drake May is the biggest red flag in the draft. I watched his pro day. He was horrible. Look, I like Drake May. The pro day was bad.
It's pretty bad.
I do agree with that.
He was sailing.
And I think a lot of, well, so I was just going to say, I think a lot of people say it was the throws that he sailed to the sidelines. That's not what bothered me as much. I mean, I don't want to see him putting it into the first row. But what bothered me more was those, like, pop flies that hung up. And his receivers had to turn around and wait and come back to the football. That bothered me more. So, fair. His pro day was not good. Also this, I feel like I should explain this. 37937, you guys all know the number. What happened to hashtag team feet? I think that's a shot at me saying I wouldn't take Jaden Daniels over Drake May, which I wouldn't. I didn't say I need, you know, any running quarterback. I just said I'll take running ability over accuracy in today's NFL. And I think Drake May, maybe I'm wrong in this projection, I think Drake May is mobile enough. He's not the dynamic runner that Jaden Daniels is, but he can run. He's not a statue back there. Yeah. He's mobile. And so when I say team feet, that's what I mean. And he's not just mobile in the pocket. He's going to be able to get out and run. I mean, he ran for a lot of production at North Carolina. He had a lot of rushing touchdowns at North Carolina. He's not Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels might be Lamar the second he walks into the league. That level of dynamism. You know, he might be a different style, but like as impactful as like Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure Drake May is either of those. In fact, I know he's not Lamar. Maybe on his best day, he can be Josh Allen. But I think he's plenty mobile. I think he's on team feet.
Yeah, he can scramble. Like, I don't think they're going to do design runs for him like Josh Allen, but I think he could scramble like Allen. Like, he has that, that he's a big guy. He's quick enough. You know, he can get around the corner. He can do things like that. And, you know, he's not as fast as Daniels, obviously. Daniels is supposed to be a dynamic one-man army type of quarterback, which, honestly, I think the Patriots are probably better suited for with the weapons that they have is a guy who can do more himself. But either way, I agree with you. I don't think that you're going completely away from team feet with Drake May.
No, I think all of the top three quarterbacks are team feet. I think when you start getting down to J.J. McCarthy, no. When you get down to Michael Penix, no. Bo Nix is probably right on the cusp of it.
He can move, yeah. He ran a little
bit. So, like, maybe. But the first three, I think, those are all mobile quarterbacks. And I like all of them. Ed's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Ed.
Yes. I think May's overrated.
Okay.
And I think Nabis goes ahead of Harrison in the draft. What do you guys think?
Okay. I've said before.
People have predicted this, yeah.
I prefer Malik Nabis's level of play. Not that the Patriots are going to take him. I prefer him to Marvin Harrison Jr. And it's another reason why, oh, take Harrison at three. He can't miss. He won't be a whiff. You know, first of all, I reject that. There's plenty of receivers who have not worked out in the top five. Some as high as two was Braylon Edwards, the second pick. Charles Rogers was the second pick.
Mm-hmm.
I like Malik Nabers' game. He moves around the formation. I think Marvin Harrison is an outside receiver that probably can be game planned out. And I question if he's going to get open and have the same separation at the next level that he had in college. That's all. Maybe I'll be wrong about that. I prefer Malik Nabers to Marvin Harrison. I felt that way for a while.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, I think you're probably doing okay if you get either one of those guys. And I agree with you. There's been a lot of receivers who have crapped out getting drafted high, but I do think that right now we're in a golden age of wide receivers coming out of the draft. I just feel like every single year you got, like, five or six guys.
And not to play this game, because, like, Ohio State receivers have been good at the next level, too. Those LSU receivers are really good.
Yeah.
Now, I don't like to fall for that because, like, you can play the same thing against Drake May. Mitch Trubisky didn't work out in the league. But, like, those LSU receivers, it's hard to completely ignore that altogether when you have Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase as two of the best receivers in the league. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your feedback here coming up.
Kayshon Booty.
Another just all-star Patriots, LSU wide receiver, rather. Let's get to another update from the NFL, along with all your draft thoughts. We'll get back to the Bruins as well at 4 o'clock. Andy Reid got a big, fat extension. What does that mean for Bill Belichick's future in the league? We'll get to it next.
Jones and Mego, civil discourse only.
That's the reason you're stupid. Shut up.
It's Jones and Mego with Arcane on WEEI.
What happens first? Tom Brady broadcast a game or he plays in a game?
I think there are no accidents when it comes to Tom Brady, Dan. And for him to come out and say, after declaring last year, he's done and he's never coming back, he just kind of casually drops the turd in the punch bowl of, pardon me, of, you know, hey, what if somebody gets injured during the season? Oh, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Wait, what? I wouldn't be opposed to coming back and playing. Are you kidding me? That was huge. And again, I don't think it was something that just flew out of his mouth. I think he's ready to come back. And I think that was his trial balloon to see if anyone will call him. Just a couple of weeks before the draft, plenty of teams looking for quarterbacks. What if Sean Payton doesn't get the guy he wants? It was Payton and Brady 2 years ago that were tied together to go to Miami. The Dolphins lost a first-round pick over it because they were tampering with both guys. So I think Brady wants to come back, but he wants to be pursued. And he's put it out there that he wants to be pursued. So I think there's a chance that he never gets in the booth at all, at least not this year. And wouldn't it be awkward? He's sitting there with Kevin Burkhart, Dan, and quarterback gets injured during a game. How can Burkhart not say, hey, Tom, would you play for this team? They may be calling you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Played that for you yesterday. That was Florio. I'm with Dan Patrick. He's got a little McAfee in him. He just doesn't shut up in the background. He's grunting and agreeing and,
Turn the punch bowl.
So that was
be funny if he's like 70, like no sleeves on his shirt, just sitting there, standing up, like all hunched
doing
over.
The same thing all over again. Just, trying to make himself more youthful, like Bill Belichick is attempting to do. We'll get to Bill. What Andy Reid's extension means for Bill Belichick.
Payday.
But I did find that interesting. He referenced the Broncos and like, okay, maybe Brady could be in play in Denver. Hadn't considered that, hadn't thought about that. The connection with Sean Payton being the unifying aspect of that. So you guys can jump in on all this. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the Bruins. And our big question of the day, how big of a factor did the goalie rotation play in last night's loss? I will update these numbers coming up, but you can vote a little, a lot, or zero. Again, that's at Jones and Mego. No Mego today. You can dial us up on the phone, 617-779-7937. That was fun earlier in the show. We'll get back to it because the Bruins have other issues, but it's fun to yell about the goalie. I can tell you that. Meanwhile, a few texts, 37937. Jones, you really just say you would take athleticism over accuracy. No, I didn't just say it. I've been saying it for over a year. Accuracy overrated in today's NFL. I would prioritize a mobile quarterback. Now, on some level, you got to be able to complete passes. I get that. But you need a guy who can make plays with his arm, with his feet. And I don't really care about the quarterback who completes 70% of his passes. If you're completing 70% of your passes, you're probably throwing short, not testing the defense, taking safe throws. And when the game's on the line, you probably can't make any plays because you need to put together a 10.
Who's that sound like?
Yeah, no, it sounds like Mac. But like, even someone like Jared Goff is the name I'm thinking in my head when I'm talking about it. It definitely sounds like Mac. But even someone like Jared Goff, it's like, oh, great. So you need a 10-play drive to work your way down the field. You need to hand it off to the running back to make a big play to get down the field. You're not going to win games when you're trailing. You're not going to come from behind in games like that. And when the game's on the line, I don't think that quarterback wins. So accuracy, to me, is overrated. It can be misleading because it can be schemed up. And I believe in a quarterback who can make plays with his arm and his feet. And so, yeah, I felt that way for over a year. Accuracy in today's NFL, overrated.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that you need an accurate quarterback. If not, you're having a guy running around making errant throws. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but there has to be some sort of balance. I think if you're talking about just the statue back there, they better be able to make every single possible throw, and most rookies can't do that. They can't do it right when they get in the NFL, and if you're drafting at three, you want someone who can play right away. So if you're talking about a stationary guy who's not able to move, they better be able to hit all three levels on the sidelines and all the different routes and everything. Otherwise, you know, you're going to have some growing pains there. But if they can extend plays, you don't have to be as accurate if you can extend plays. That's the key to it all.
Yeah, Roba in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, sounds like a guy who won 7 Super Bowls. I think we can agree. Brady's the exception to the rule. I don't think other quarterbacks.
Brady can make all the throws, too.
Yeah, and I don't think that quarterback's going to thrive in today's NFL. You know, Brady could. He's special. I don't think another quarterback with that profile is going to come in and succeed. My personal opinion. Maybe I'll be proven wrong on that. Brady also was exceptionally mobile within the pocket. And that's not what I'm talking about, but he could extend plays within the pocket. There's also this from Monty. Can't you have a quarterback that's mobile and accurate? No, you can. But I'm saying if I got to prioritize one thing over the other, I want the guy who's mobile. I'll take both. I mean, obviously I'll take both. But if I got to prioritize one thing, that's what I'm doing. Also this, 37937, total reach to put May on team feet. Follow-up text from a different number. McCarthy runs a 4-4. How does he not qualify? So I went and crunched some numbers, and look, the offenses are different. The attempts are different. But J.J. McCarthy, when I looked at the numbers, actually pretty impressive.
I'd consider McCarthy a mobile quarterback.
632 yards, 10 touchdowns. That's in his career at Michigan, compared to 698 yards for Drake May as a sophomore and 9 touchdown rushes last year as a junior. Or, you know, third year and second year, I should say, at North Carolina, because he barely played as a true freshman.
Right.
So May's far more mobile than McCarthy. Maybe I'm selling McCarthy short on his mobility, but May is definitely a mobile quarterback. He's not Jaden Daniels. I mean, I don't know how many quarterbacks not named Lamar in the NFL or Josh Allen are Jaden Daniels.
Kyler, maybe.
Different styles. Yeah, there's not a lot of them. But I think he's plenty mobile in the NFL. McCarthy, I question. Maybe he's more mobile than I give him credit for. He ran a 4-4. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either, but I consider him to be a mobile quarterback. Like, you know, I don't consider any of these guys to be full-on stationary guys. I think even Penix is able to get around the corner and sort of do things with that offense and extend plays, which, again, if you're talking about rushing for yards and, you know, picking up yards and touchdowns and things like that, long runs, then, yeah, Daniels is in a separate class. But if you're talking about extending plays and, you know, doing that sort of thing, then I think all those guys can do that.
They designed plays for Drake May at UNC. They did not do that for J.J. McCarthy. So, again, this is another thing J.J. McCarthy didn't do that apparently he's going to do at the next level. They didn't ask him to do it in college, but he can totally do it. Even though he wasn't asked to do it a level down, he's going to do it at a high level, a level up. I have to do a lot of leaping, and there's a lot of belief in something I haven't seen out of J.J. McCarthy. And so I'll trust in what I saw out of Drake May and what he did. And there's some warts there. There's some bad plays and some red flags. There's no doubt about it. But there's also a lot of production. We'll continue here with your feedback just real quick on Andy Reid. Andy Reid was making $12.5 million.
Mm.
He just got a 5-year extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's now the highest paid coach in the NFL, if I read that properly.
Boy.
I don't know if he's making Bill money. Bill's out of the league. But Sean,
he's also not the GM, too. So
fair. Sean Payton is making reportedly upwards of $20 million in Denver. And I think Andy Reid just passed that by, if I read the reporting properly. Here is the note from Tom Pelissero. Both Brett Veach, the GM to your point, Arkin, and Andy Reid are locked up now through 2029. Reid, 66, has faced retirement questions each of the past two off seasons. He shouldn't hear any more talk of it after this extension. He'll be 71 when the contract ends. That's Bill's age right now. Bill would be 72 this season. He'd be 73 next season. We all know he's not coaching this year. Reid will enter the Pro Football Hall of Fame after 5 years of retirement. He ranks in regular season wins fourth all-time, 258, which trails Shula, Halas, and Belichick. His 26 postseason wins are 5 behind Bill. So he's closing in on all those records. I know we count regular season and postseason. That's what Pelissero wrote. Do you think the 5-year extension ensures, number one, that Reed's on track to pass by Bill? And number two, does this factor in any way to a Bill return. I mean, Andy Reid is being extended in his late 60s, and he's going to be coaching in the NFL, in theory, into his 70s.
Yeah, I think both of the, I'd say yes to both of those things. Yes, that Reed's going to be on track to pass Bill, and yes, that Bill's going to... I don't think Bill ever sort of looked at this and said, all right, I'm done coaching. I don't want to coach anymore. I'm not going to try and coach anymore. He's going for a comeback next year, no matter what happens with Andy Reid, and I think that that was going to be the case anyway. So Bill coming back, I think, is whether a team hires him or not is a different question, but whether he wants to come back, I think, is a foregone conclusion. He absolutely does, and he wants to chase Shula. Now, as for Andy Reid, I mean, we'll also get to this a little bit in triple play, but I think that 5 more years of Andy Reid, in the event that Mahomes stays there for all 5 of those years, it's very likely. I mean, just mathematically, it's very likely that he passes where Bill is now.
Okay, me too. Get ready for all those records to fall. I mean, Bill doesn't even have the record, but he's closing right in on the wins record. Get ready for it to fall. That postseason wins record, Bill has 26, Reed's only 5 back. So that's 2 playoff runs for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So that one's going to fall for sure. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. We'll get back to the Bruins as well. Our big question of the day: how much of a factor was the goalie rotation in last night's loss? Spoiler alert, Arcan and myself think it was a big factor, unlike most Bruins fans out there. We'll get to that with all your thoughts next.